En podcast från Aftonbladet.
Avsnittet presenteras av stödlinjen.se, åldersgräns 18 år.
You know, they've spent £125 million on him. You know, it's the British record transfer fee. And while it's still early days, you still have expected a bit more from him so far. And yeah, the fact that he's not been able to contribute on the pitch in terms of even playing minutes, you know, let alone scoring goals and having assists, is that has affected Liverpool negatively.
Den regerande engelska mästaren Liverpool är inne i sin värsta formsvacka på 71 år. Laget har gått från att vara en framgångssaga till att nu stå på 9 förluster på de 12 senaste matcherna. Och tränaren Arne Slott kallar sviten en chock för alla, samtidigt som Alexander Isaks ifrågasätts av fansen. Han är den dyraste värvningen i Premier Leagues historia, är fortfarande mållös och beskrivs av vissa brittiska röster som en av ligans största felinvesteringar. Vi ringer upp Ian Doyle från Liverpool Echo som bevakat Liverpool FC i över 25 år och vi pratar om deras hisnande formsvacka. Hur ser britterna på Liverpools kollaps? Hur ser Isaks framtid ut i klubben? Och vad vill Doyle se att Arne Slott gör nu? Mitt namn är Maja Andersson och det här är Sportbladet Daily. Ian Doyle, in Sweden people talk about Liverpool as a club in crisis. How do you talk about Liverpool in the UK right now?
Well, pretty much the same really. I mean, although they did win the Premier League title last season, you can't really go losing 9 games out of 12 in all competitions, which is what the run that Liverpool are on at the moment, having lost to PSV Eindhoven in the Champions League. And for it not to be a crisis, I mean, Manchester City had exactly the same run last year and they were the reigning champions, and people were talking then that Pep Guardiola could lose his job and that City were a team in crisis, and Liverpool are pretty much the same. I think the worrying thing for Liverpool is that at the moment it looks as though there's no real way out of it, and the players just look totally short of confidence. They're too easy to play against. They're conceding lots of goals. They're not scoring many. They don't draw in any games. Whenever they go behind, they lose. So there's quite a lot that's going wrong for them at the moment. So yeah, people would say they are in crisis. Yeah.
BBC called the 1-4 loss against PSV Eindhoven in the Champions League a horror show. Do you agree with that description?
Well, I actually called it a lot more worse than that. I think the second half in particular was... the second half, what I would say is that considering it's a team that... the team that started, 8 of them won the Premier League last season with Liverpool. Mm-hmm. The way that they just collapsed and allowed PSV just to play straight through them has been symptomatic of what's been going on for quite a few weeks now. And it's rare that you ever see a team, a champion team, because don't forget this, as I said, they were the Premier League champions just 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It's rare to see a champion team totally bereft of confidence, although there are obviously quite a lot of reasons for that.
As a Swede, it's very interesting to hear a little bit about Alexander Isak. How involved is he in Liverpool's situation, the team being in the position they are, if you know how I mean?
Yeah, I think Liverpool will be quite happy to be a bit more involved in games when he's on the pitch, because he just doesn't seem to be doing anything. And while that's not necessarily down just to him, because obviously he's playing alongside new players who need to understand the way he plays, he doesn't seem to be doing enough for himself. And the whole situation about Isak and the way that he joined, I think, left a bad taste in the mouths. Even the Liverpool supporters, you don't want to see a play, even though it's always, you know, you always want to see players who are absolutely desperate to sign for you, but not to the extent where they then technically go on strike at another club and then don't train with them for 2 months, which is what Isak did at Newcastle.
Yeah.
And what that meant is that when he did sign for Liverpool, he was well short of match fitness, and he's a player who, given he's had injury problems in the past, he's somebody who only really operates at his best when he is fully fit.
Yeah.
And since he arrived at Liverpool, they made concessions for the fact that he wasn't going to be available properly for the first month. But since then, you know, it's 3 months down the line now. He's had one injury since then, and he's just nowhere near the level that he should be. So it has contributed to Liverpool in the sense that obviously they've got a completely new forward line in the sense of playing down the middle, the central strikers, because they got Hugo Ekitike in as well, is that they were, you know, they spent £125 million on him, you know, yeah. It's a British record transfer fee. And while it's still early days in terms of his contract, I think they've signed him for 5 years and he's only been there for 3 months, he's still expected a bit more from him so far. And yeah, the fact that he's not been able to contribute on the pitch in terms of even playing minutes, you know, let alone scoring goals and having assists, is that has affected Liverpool negatively.
He's the most expensive player in Premier League history. Like, what did you think of that signing at the time? And what do you think now?
Well, at the time, I thought there's no way he's worth £125 million. But in the same way that I think no player's worth that. Yeah. I think Liverpool, even in terms of the market, is at the moment, I think it's too much for him. I think if Liverpool had paid £100 million, that was pushing it a bit. Because while he's done very well in the Premier League with Newcastle over the last couple of years, before he joined Liverpool, he'd only played something like 6 games in the Champions League ever. And I think he'd only started 3 of them. He hadn't scored many goals in the Champions League. And playing for the Sweden national team, He hasn't quite had the exposure at the top level than he would have done had he been playing for some of the other countries. I mean, obviously, he can't control that, but that's just the way that it is. So it's a lot of money for a player who, while a proven Premier League goal scorer, hasn't really proven it elsewhere. I mean, the thing is, Liverpool obviously very much wanted him. They'd targeted him for a while and they had a plan for him. But if the plan was to play him with Florian Wirtz, who they also signed for more than £100 million in the summer, it's just not happened because Wirtz has taken a while to settle. And then when he's been available, Isak's been injured. And then now that Isak's available, Wirtz is injured. So They've not really had a chance to play together. I think they've played less than 270 minutes together.
He's seen by some critics as one of the league's biggest misinvestments. It's kind of harsh, but are they right?
Well, it's too early to say. It's like every summer people say, like, this club's won the transfer window, this club's won the transfer window, whoever. But you only ever know 2 years down the line. And I always give the example for Liverpool is that in 2023, they bought 4 new midfielders. And most people were like, why have Liverpool signed all of those players? And they were saying another club's won the transfer market and they've done this, that and the other. But 2 years down the line, those 4 midfielders helped Liverpool win the Premier League. So you'd have to say that Liverpool had the best of that particular transfer window in the Premier League I'm talking about. So in terms of him being a misfire, it's still too early, but it's not been a great start.
Yeah.
And all that happens is that when you do start the way that he has done, it just builds the pressure on him and there's more and more pressure on him to deliver. So the longer he doesn't get the goals or make the impact that Liverpool are expecting, the more the pressure is going to increase on him and the more difficult it's going to be for him.
Yeah, because like he's still goalless in the Premier League. He's been injured. He's barely played. What's your take on that situation? How is he supposed to handle that pressure we're talking about? Like,
well, he's kind of put it on himself by demanding the move to Liverpool. So he's already, you know, players move all the time to clubs and, you know, people get big offers. And he's not the first player ever to have been, had £100 million spent on him and not been great from the first minute. So there's nothing unusual there. The difference with Isak is that because he kicked up so much of a fuss up at Newcastle over the summer, is that it's just increased the scrutiny. So there are question marks over, was that the right thing for him to do? Does that reflect well on him as a person? Does it reflect well on, although Liverpool weren't directly involved in that, does it reflect well on them that they bought a player who's, you know, willing to do that? These are all questions that are going to be asked the longer that he doesn't score goals. So ultimately, as a striker, that's what you're judged on. I mean, Liverpool had Darwin Nunez for 3 years, and he cost about £80 million. And I think there's a lot of supporters who would go, well, they've seen that Isak's probably a better footballer than Nunez overall, that Nunez would have been making more impact this season than Isak's done.
Yeah. Is Isak the player who gets the most criticism at the moment of all the players at the team?
Well, I don't think so, because purely on the basis that he's not been playing that much, there are quite a few players who are getting a lot more criticism than him. And they seem to be taking turns.
Okay. But what do the fans think of him today?
Oh, well, the thing is that because he's played so little, they haven't really got any thoughts other than is he actually going to? I mean, they're obviously assuming he's going to do something at some points because they've seen him play in the past. It's not like it's a player who they've signed from a different country they've not seen very often. They'll have seen Isak every week on the highlights and, you know, on live games in England, and they've seen him score quite a few goals against Liverpool, such as the League Cup final in March, where he scored what turned out to be the winner. So it's not as though they don't know what to expect. And I think it's that expectation is making them wonder, yeah, why is he not performing the way that he is. So in terms of the thoughts, I think the worry, as I said right from the start, is that he's not doing anywhere near enough just for himself, let alone in terms of help from his teammates. He needs to be doing more for himself on the pitch.
But do you see a successful future for Isak at Liverpool?
Well, it's tough, isn't it? In the sense that everything that we've seen so far suggests that he's not going to be at Liverpool. But then everything that you've seen at Newcastle and Real Sociedad and to a certain degree at Sweden suggests that he could be. And it's only when Liverpool get available the players that, quite clearly, you don't spend £125 million on a player and then think we're not going to build a team around him. You don't spend £160 million on Florian Wirtz, which they did, and say he's not going to be influential and play every week. So these two players have to be available. And once they're playing, then we'll get a better idea of how, what Liverpool can achieve, because that's the long-term plan. I think what Liverpool have been guilty of doing is they've thought, well, this is the long-term plan. We can do that and it's great. Yeah. But they've forgotten about the here and now, and that it will take time for these players to build up and get that kind of understanding. And they've made so many changes elsewhere in a team, which is very unusual for a team that's just won the Premier League. Normally, yeah, if you've won the Premier League, you're at a very high standard, then you only need one or two signings. Liverpool have had to make, not entirely their own fault, but they've had to make a lot of signings. And all that's happened is that, you know, it's not just Isak and Wirtz that's coming. They've got a new left back, they've got a new right back, they've got a new goalkeeper. There's players all over the team that are still trying to adjust.
But who do you think should start the next match, Isak or Hugo Ekitike?
I think for the game against West Ham on Sunday, Ekitike went off injured against PSV Eindhoven with a back spasm. So this is the suggestion that he might not be fully fit. But I think Liverpool always looked at the West Ham game, yeah, and thought it's a game that Isak can play, because he's obviously played against West Ham quite a lot when he was at Newcastle. It's nothing different for him. But also, I think that after Arne Slot, the Liverpool manager, has, you know, he's backed Alexander Isak, he's defended him in press conferences, he's given him chances in the first team. I think it's time possibly for Isak to start giving something back to the manager. And I think the West Ham game would be the first chance for that.
Okay, so we will see Isak on the start field, like, on Sunday?
I think so, yeah. I think so, yeah.
Some fans I've spoken to say that Arne Slot has been riding on Klopp's wave and that is not working anymore for him. Can you agree with that?
Well, the only thing I'd say on that is that a lot of people say he only won with Klopp's team. Yeah. And then I'd say, well, Klopp didn't win the Premier League with that team. So, you know, that's that.
That's that, yeah.
Yes, it is different if you've... I mean, he had a very, very difficult job taking over Jurgen Klopp, which while everybody would have wanted to do it, I think everybody knew, ooh, whoever got that job, that's going to be hard. So he's kind of massively overachieved in the first season by winning the Premier League, especially when they didn't really change the team. It's a team that kind of fell away the previous season when they were challenging for the Premier League title.
Yeah.
I mean, this season is probably more the one everyone expected last season, because when a new manager comes in, he likes to bring in his own players and there's changes in the squad. And I think had it been the other way around, you know, they had this season was the first season, people would have understood it, and then he probably wouldn't have been under as much pressure. But it's strange in the sense that it's almost as though by winning the league last season, he's kind of put himself under more pressure, because he's kind of those comparisons that you've just mentioned there. Yeah. Was he just riding on, you know, Klopp's coattails? But I think that's unfair, to be honest, because it's not just him that's signing the players, it's also the recruitment team, and the recruitment team is different to what was under Jurgen Klopp. So, because Richard Hughes is now the sporting director at Liverpool, and this is the first year that he's really signed players. So the jury's still out on whether the squad's going to end up being good enough. And I think Liverpool still need to make, in the next 12 months, two or three big signings, and then they might have a chance. But at the moment, no, I think there were a lot of people at the start of the season who thought Liverpool were just going to walk the title. And I have to say that I wasn't one of them, because I could kind of see a lot of the problems that were coming when you change so many players. I didn't expect them to lose 9 games out of 12.
Yeah.
Certainly not lose 4-1 at home to PSV Eindhoven. But I think, yeah, Arne Slot is under pressure. in terms of his job. But I do think that to say that he just, you know, took over from Klopp and just took it from there and it was dead easy for him, I think that's a bit unfair.
But how long do you think this can continue for Slot before Liverpool needs to, like, give him the boot?
Well, the thing you've got here is that I wrote something this week and said he's got next week because they're playing three games in the Premier League in a week, West Ham away, and then they're playing two promoted teams, and Sunderland at home and Leeds away.
Yeah.
And normally Liverpool would be looking to win all three or possibly draw one and win two of them. Now it's like, well, he's going to have to, if he loses two of them, that's a massive problem. If he loses one and wins two, then I think it's like, okay, that's fine. The thing, Liverpool historically haven't really sacked their managers unless something's gone massively wrong. And the fact is that, Slot won the league last, 6 months ago. So it's not gone that wrong. I don't think Liverpool aren't going to get relegated. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But there's a way that you can't be losing games like they did against Nottingham Forest and like they did against PSV Eindhoven at home, because it's ultimately the home, the fans who pay the money, who watch the team, who are the ones who judge the way things are going. And at the moment, while there's been some mutterings, certainly online on social media, about Slot possibly should get sacked, I think the people inside the stadium who pay the money and go and watch them, they're a bit reluctant to say that because they know of all the problems that he's having to cope with. And the other one on top of all that is obviously Diogo Jota, who tragically died in the summer. And that's something that no matter what job you're in and you're a manager of anything like that, you can't possibly prepare for something like that happening. And I think that's something that the players are still carrying around. I think, Andy Robertson did an interview on television the other week when after Scotland had qualified for the World Cup, where he kind of mentioned all that day he'd been thinking about Diogo Jota because it was his mate. And sometimes people forget that, not all footballers in squads all get on with each other, but Diogo Jota was a very popular member of the squad. Everybody really liked him. And, it is a blow. And again, it's one of these things where it doesn't really get mentioned because you can't use it as an excuse because you don't know how people are affected by it. But you wouldn't be. You'd be a very strange human being if you weren't affected by it in some way.
But we can at least say, like, next week is a very crucial week for Arne Slot. Yeah.
Next week's very crucial. The fans will want to see more of an effort put up in that one.
Okay. We're not there yet, but who do you think realistically could replace Slot?
We're not there yet, and I'm not going there yet.
I will call you in a week.
I'll tell you one person who it won't be, and it'll never be, and that's Jurgen Klopp. It'll never be him. It will never be him because he's got nothing to prove, and Liverpool will not want to go back, as it were, because they've moved on from Jurgen Klopp, as I was proven last season by winning the Premier League title without him.
Yeah. But okay, from Liverpool to Sweden, from your perspective as a sports journalist in England, how do you see Sweden's chances of reaching the World Cup?
I mean, to be honest, I mean, we look at the results. Obviously, we don't get to see the games because there's so many. And then we've looked at the table and gone, how on earth are they bottom? So it was a bit strange. But I mean, they were in that situation like a couple of other countries were. Once they realized they probably were not going to finish top and possibly second, they had the fallback of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I think possibly some of the results and performances aren't quite representative of what's been going on. I don't know, there's a new manager there now. So
yeah, Graham Potter.
I think what I was saying, Graham Potter, is that when he was being in charge of clubs in England, they've played quite well, but they've struggled to score goals. And I think if you've got someone like Isak up front, and I know he's not the only one, but you need to be getting more out of those players because they can score goals when fully fit. And then it comes back to what we were talking about with Liverpool as well. So it's not till March, isn't it, the playoffs. So all I'd say on that is that I think Sweden as the individual players and Sweden as a national team will be in a very different situation than compared to what they are now.
Yeah, but okay, we talked a little about Potter, but what do you think about Graham Potter as a coach?
The only thing, he's never been a national team manager before.
Yeah.
And you only learn from experience of doing that. So if they do get through the playoffs, it'll just be interesting to see how he copes with that because, as a player, he never experienced that himself.
And with that, thank you, Ian Doyle. I expect that you call me next week if it's like if Liverpool is losing all the games and Arne Slot is leaving Liverpool.
Yeah, you can give me a phone call for a special emergency.
Yeah, great. And if you have any news about Alexander Isak, you just call me too. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Ian.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Du har lyssnat på en podcast från Aftonbladet. Ansvarig utgivare är Lotta Folker.